Not only have we given him that Warren Buffalo welcome, but we have given him the largest attended fundraiser in the history of the Erie County Republican Party. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, a man that needs no introduction, Donald J. Trump.
Wow. Thank you, and thank you, Darnell. Really something special, believe me. That's very nice. Nick, I want to thank you and all of the chairs for being here tonight. This has been an amazing evening, and we had a beautiful trip, and I came over. I love upstate. You know, it's very interesting about upstate. Somebody asked me, how much do you know about upstate New York? Well, I spent a lot of time here because when I was a little boy, I went to Camp Hilltop right next to Binghamton, and they loved me. Oh, was I a brat? I was terrible, actually. But I loved them, and I loved the place, and I loved the beauty. And when you see what's happened to upstate, how the politicians have really forgotten about it, the ones that are running things, I mean, they've just forgotten. Now, they don't forget it about 3 months before an election. And then the election's over, and immediately everybody hits the road, and that's the end of it. Such tremendous potential, such a beautiful place, and such a lack of respect when you look at what's going on in government, current government, such a lack of respect. So I just want to thank everybody for being here tonight. This is an amazing welcome. And when Nick said the largest they've ever had by far and double the number of people they've ever had, and I see standing room only in the back, I'm so honored, I will tell you. I'm so honored. I love this state. It's called the Empire State, but it's really not the Empire State anymore. People are fleeing. You know, it's the number one state in the United States for flee. I call it the fleers. They're leaving. There's an exodus. Your children are leaving. Your grandchildren are leaving. And who can blame them? They can't get jobs. There are no jobs. Then they want to give a lot of money to two companies, both of whom have no money and have a bad record, and it's going to be another Solyndra disaster, all for 800 jobs, 800 jobs. And yet you've lost millions of jobs, and 1.6 million people have recently left. And interestingly, I have a lot of things going in Florida. I'm building Doral, which is now Trump National Doral, 800 acres right in the middle of Miami. And so many people are moving to Florida. And so many people are from here. And they don't want to move to Florida, but they're being forced to move through lack of jobs and through taxes. The taxes are the number one in the country, number one highest in the country. And nobody's doing anything about it. They talk about it. They talk recently about a tax decrease, but it's not going to happen until 17. But that's dependent on people that have to vote in the legislature that haven't even been elected yet. And it's an amazing thing. There was an amazing story today where the statement was made by Governor Cuomo that he thinks he's going to have a surplus. And the Times actually took him, New York Times took him to task, which is pretty unusual. And they took him to, and I respect it. And they said, you know, this isn't going to happen till 16 or 17, which is years from now. And that's dependent on many, many cuts. And the cuts are all coming out of upstate New York, some from New York, but all from, most of them from upstate New York. So you look at that and you say, that's really tough. That's really a shame. By the way, just as a little aside, in coming up today, I said to Nick, you think I should say this, but did you hear about the news? Chris Christie and Wilstein, who I hear is a rat to start off with, but he just turned out to be a serious rat because he just ratted out Chris Christie. And that's a big story. I mean, as Republicans, that's a big story. And it's a shame. That whole situation is a shame. But it's, you know, it's something that is going on. And it's, I just, literally as I'm walking up, I heard this news. It just came over the wires. So I thought as political people, you'd probably want to hear it. The fact that New York is such a great place, and the fact that we have people that are so negative toward jobs, toward rebuilding. We have now $385 billion in debt. We have no chance of paying that off. So you can say it's Detroit, and it is Detroit. It's going to be Detroit. It's just a question of when. The real estate taxes are through the roof, and you all know that, and everybody knows that. Forget about other taxes. Real estate taxes are just a disaster. In Staten Island, they have a bridge where it's $15, a double, $15 to cross the bridge. The Tappan Zee Bridge, which some of you use and some of you have to use, but the Tappan Zee Bridge is going to be $25 toll. Who ever heard of a $25 toll? In China, they build bridges. They don't charge tolls. They take all our jobs, by the way, so we're sort of paying for that. And nobody does anything from any standpoint. It's incredible. But they take all our jobs, and they build the magnificent bridges, the best in the world, and they say, I'm sorry, you don't have to pay because the Americans are paying. And that's the way it goes. And that's the kind of thinking we have. But the Tappan Zee Bridge, and I made the statement, you know, I know a lot about construction. I did years ago, I mean, it sort of started. I was doing very well, and I was in the construction business, and with my father, my office was in Brooklyn. And my father taught me a lot about building and negotiating and different things. And there was a rink in New York called the Wallman Ice Skating Rink, and this rink turned out to be a total catastrophe. It was 8 years under construction, 8 years, and they couldn't get it built. They couldn't. And I'd go there, and I had a young daughter, Ivanka. Do we all know Ivanka? She's great. She's great. And she said, Daddy, I'd love to go ice skating. I said, darling, you're going to be a very old person the way they're going, because I'd pass it, and you'd have 300 or 400 men, mostly men in those days. Today it's men and women. But you had 300 or 400 men sitting on the ice, not doing anything, sitting out actually on a broken surface. And this is after about 5, 6, 7 years. I went to see Mayor Koch, and I said, hey, Ed, you know, it's 8 years now, and it's an ice skating rink. And it is a big surface, I will say that. But this is an ice skating rink. And I'd like to have my kids be able to ice skate before they decide they don't want to because they're too old. And I'll take it over, and I'll fix it, and I'll get it done really fast. And I'll do it for under $2 million. They had spent $22 million. $22 million. I'll get it done for under $2 million. And if it costs more than that, I'll pay for it myself. And he wasn't that thrilled because he didn't want to be stood up. He didn't want to be grandstanded. And, you know, and I didn't want to do that, actually. And he said, all right. And the reason he said all right, because I went to the New York Times, I went to the Wall Street Journal, and I said, fellas, I can't get this guy to let me do this. And they started writing editorials, and finally he let me do it. And I built it in 3 months for $1.8 million. And I run it today. I mean, I've run it for years. And it's the most successful rink anywhere in the world. I mean, just a tremendous number of people every Saturday, every Sunday, every Friday. It's been incredible. It's really well managed, and it's a beautiful place right in the middle of Central Park. Then Michael Bloomberg came to me recently, and he said, you know, I have a problem. We have a golf course, which is actually a very big event, actually, sort of a large-scale version of the Wallman Rink. But we have a golf course in Ferry Point in the Bronx. It's been under construction for 27 years, okay? And he said, it's very embarrassing, and, you know, it started many administrations ago. And he said, is there any way you can help us with this thing? And he's a great guy. And a friend of mine, and somebody I like a lot. And I said, all right, well, let's see. Let's take a look at it. And I knew all about it. Jack Nicklaus is a fantastic, obviously the greatest player of all time, but he's also a great architect, golf architect. And he had done a Jack Nicklaus signature course. And I called him. He said, Donald, it'll never get done. I've never seen anything. You know, he's only done like 300 courses. He said, this will never get done. And anyway, they went to an RFP, and I won the RFP, and honestly, I kicked ass. And it's finished. Done. Done. So what I did is, when I saw this new bridge that they say is going to cost $4 to $5 billion, but it's going to end up costing $15 billion and destroy the state, the Tappan Zee Bridge, which I go across many times. I have in Dutchess County, as you probably, a lot of you know, I have a great, great club, a fantastic club. And in Westchester, I have a fantastic club. I use the Tappan Zee Bridge a lot. And when I go over to New Jersey, you know, constantly I'm using it. And I know about construction. And they want to spend $10 billion. In my opinion, it'll be $10 billion with overruns. Sure, they're saying $4 billion. You know what $4 billion means? You know, you have a thing called the Tunnel to Nowhere. It's a Second Avenue subway. That was going to cost like $1 billion. I think it's up to $20 billion. It's going to destroy everything. And nobody even knows where it's going. That's what they call it, the Tunnel to Nowhere. They just keep building for years. And you drive down Second Avenue, it's a disaster. And this is the money. They have no idea what they're doing. No idea. So I said, you know, I could fix the existing Tappan Zee Bridge for peanuts. Lower the tolls. Cut the tolls. You could make it. They said, oh, no, it only has a 50-year life. I said, of course, everything only has a 50-year life. I have a 50-year life, but I want to stay nice and healthy, so I try and keep it going, okay? It's got a 50-year life. I said, so you beef it up. That's what construction is. You beef it up and you make it good. Many of the things I do, they have a certain lifespan, and you fix them and you make them good, and they last for another 50 years. And you can do it for very little money. So I suggested this, but nobody took me up on it. And now I understand they're building a brand new bridge, and it's going to be monumental in terms of cost. And I didn't even like the look of it. You know, I was saying, all right, maybe it'll be beautiful. I didn't love the look of it. I like a lot of the China bridges much more. I won't say that architecturally. I'm a very aesthetic person, and I did not like what I was seeing in terms of the plan, in terms of the concept, and certainly in terms of the cost. So this bridge will be a total and complete disaster, and it could have been done so inexpensively. So when I look at what's going on in New York State, when I look at all of the people leaving, when I look at the fact that they want to take away your guns with the SAFE Act, which I call the UNSAFE Act, which is one of the great catastrophes. I mean, just think of it. Look, you know, I have friends and they are opposed to guns. And I have some that are, and I don't even understand the concept of being opposed. We know one thing for sure. The bad guys are going to keep their guns. Do we know that? Do we know that? So if I'm sitting in Buffalo in my house and some guy walks in with a gun, I don't want him to have a gun and I don't have one. At least I want to give myself a fighting chance. I'm actually licensed to carry a pistol. And, you know, to get licensed in New York is a very big deal, but I'm licensed. And my sons, you know, I love golf. My sons love shooting and they love hunting. Eric, in fact, a couple of the people say, oh, I know Eric. They all know Eric because he's a hunter and he's up and they go hunting together. But they're both members of the NRA. They're phenomenal shots. They're like scratch. If I were a golfer, I'd say scratch. For them, they're like scratch. They're great shots. And they're big believers in what a lot of the people upstate in particular and actually throughout New York. You'd be amazed if you go to Manhattan how people feel about that too. You know, people think it's not a good issue in New York. The fact is, you need protection. You need, aside from hunting, aside from this, aside from all of the things that people think about. You know, when a guy goes into a movie theater and he starts blasting everybody and everybody's sitting there defenseless, at least I'd love to have a couple of shots at this guy, okay? And it's amazing. No, it's amazing. So if Governor Cuomo's elected, he's going to take away your guns. I mean, the SAFE Act is just the beginning. The SAFE Act is a disaster, but I'm a huge Second Amendment person. The SAFE Act is just a very small beginning. So we have something called the Empire State. The Empire State, it was just announced, is now behind Florida. Now, you can't have the Empire State if you keep going down, down, down. And I understand it, because in building Doral and building in Palm Beach and all of the places I'm building, I'm doing a lot of things in those in that state. I see so many people coming from New York. But the Empire State can't be the Empire State if you're now fourth. It just went from third to fourth. And heading down fast, by the way. Heading down fast, really fast. And it's not going to take long before other states surpass our great New York that we love so much. And I go and I talk, I'm from New York, and people say, that's great, but I hear you have problems. And we do have problems. And let's just get back for one second. I have been watching a commercial for the last number of months that is the worst and most boring commercial I've ever seen, and it doesn't stop. And it's on football games. It's on things that cost so much money. If they have it in the Super Bowl, I'm going to just flip over. because I know what those ads cost. But I've heard that they've spent over $100 million on an ad. Now, here's the ad. And nobody knows more about tax abatement. I'm the king of tax abatement. Look, I'm in business. I want to get tax abatement. I mean, I'm not a stupid person. Give me tax abatement. If you people are so stupid, give me the tax abatement. I was criticized. They said, oh, I'm a very conservative person, and I think I'm a good person. I have a lot of good values and a lot of things. The Tea Party loves me. You know, somebody said, give me a definition of the Tea Party. And I said, these are people that are really good people. They really want what's good for this country. They're hardworking, great people. And they just get killed. Right? Am I right? But the taxes are so high. So I watched this commercial. And then I said, I want to find out what this is about. Honestly, I don't think anybody knows more about tax abatement and things. I built the Commodore Hotel into the Grand Hyatt. I got tax abatement. They tailored it especially for me. Okay? That doesn't make me a bad person. If they want to do it, let them do it. In all fairness, I think it was a good thing that they did. I got it built. It's the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It's a great success and, you know, proud of it and all that stuff. I did many. But this was one that was sort of interesting because, remember, we are by far the highest tax state in the nation. We are the most unfriendly business state in the entire nation. We're the most unfriendly in the entire nation. So here's the tax abatement. Come to New York and you're not going to pay any tax for 10 years. Now think of it. Now, there's two problems I have with it. Let's say a guy comes to New York and he's like the sheep being led to slaughter. He comes to New York and he doesn't pay tax and he builds up a good business and he's really happy. And then after the 10th year, he gets just absolutely slaughtered because he goes from no tax to the highest tax ever in the history of the country. Okay? So that's no good. I have a real problem with that. But, you know, I have a bigger problem with something else. What about all the people that are up here with businesses that are being killed? And now a guy moves next door. No, what about it? And somebody moves next door, and they open up a plant, a factory, a store, whatever the hell he's given it for, and you're paying all of these taxes. And you go, well, I need taxes. Well, I'm sorry, you're not covered by this stupid plan. I'm sorry. They're actually calling it a stupid plan already. But here's the problem with the plan. They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know the amazing thing? It's the same commercial. They never change it. It drives you nuts. It's like they show the same train. They show the same garage doors opening with something behind it. Nobody knows what the hell it is. It's a total waste of money. Wouldn't it be great if Buffalo could get $100 million and do something, but real money? Not when you bring two companies in that have a bad record. It's like, you know, people criticize me. They think I'm roughing Obama. But in all fairness, look, the website. The website, one of the great catastrophes of all time. The company that built the website got paid $1.6 billion. Think of this. $1.6 billion. They just got fired a couple of weeks ago. $1.6 billion. Would you like to own a piece of that company? I would. I give that company a lot of credit. Somebody said, they're really stupid. I said, no, they're geniuses. They got more money than anybody. I have many websites. Everything I do, I have a website. Today it's websites, right? And I hire some kid, and he opens a website. What did it cost? Like $3. And I guarantee you it's better than the Obama. Now, Obamacare is going to have a huge negative impact on your business. It just is. People were telling me outside, they're losing their businesses over it. They're telling me outside, one person said, I had a plan. They call it a Cadillac plan. It was a great plan. And now I can't have any plan. I went from having a really good plan and have my employees have a really good plan. And now I've just told my employees, I can't give you any plan. You're going to have to go get it yourself. And the plan that he had as somebody that worked very hard for his money is no good. It's expensive. He can't keep his doctor. He couldn't keep his plan, but he can't have his doctor. He can't go to the same doctor that he's had for many years. The whole thing is just catastrophic. And what it's doing to businesses is amazing. And, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but about 2 weeks ago, worst in 37 years. Worst report came out in 37 years. Now, they talk about employment, okay, which is something that this area in upstate really, because, you know, I had no idea. I looked and did a little research, because this is something I look forward to doing for Nick and for all of the chairs, because it's been such a great group of people. And I had no idea that in terms of poverty, Buffalo is number 3 in the nation. And you look and you say, wow, that's a terrible statistic. And that's why I say, you know, because there are many places like Buffalo up here. And I say that if people got out and voted, you have 6 million gun owners, 6 million registered owners. If half of them voted, the Republican would win in a landslide. I don't understand it. And just to admonish them, because I told you about my sons and the NRA and everything else, but just to really admonish them, they're not going to go out and vote. They never vote. I don't understand it. So I met one of the folks from Scope, and I met a couple of people that are very much involved. I said, you better get their asses out to vote, because you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have the protection. You're not going to have the guns, and it's going to be a tough situation. So here's what I told Nick and a whole group of people. I think the Republicans can absolutely win the gubernatorial election. I think they can. But I feel strongly that you have to be unified. There has to be a united party. You can't have people going into a horrible contest with each other, knocking the hell out of each other in a primary, spending millions of dollars, and then somebody comes out wounded and limping and goes in where they say it's 2-1, but it's really probably 3-1, Democrat to Republican. You need strong leadership. And you honestly, you don't have that strong leadership right now. You don't have that at the top level. You need leadership like I see on the local levels, and some of the chairs that I've met are amazing people. And they win, and they know how to win. You have to have people that know the art of winning. There are very few people that know the art of winning, believe me. Hey, look, most people, they don't win. They don't know how to win. I had a great victory. This was a very good day for me. I'll tell you what happened. There's this lightweight attorney general in New York named Eric Schneiderman. A total dope. No, a total dope. He's driving business out of New York. No, it's true. He's driving business out of New York. And he's supposed to be suing for important things. So I have a school, Trump University, where I actually help people. And really help people. And it was good. And it's a small thing. And I do it to help people. And he comes to me. They want to settle a case, a lawsuit against the school. Now, Sandy, you know, lots of different people. And I won't even mention too many names. But you look at a guy like Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase. Every time he gets sued, he settles. I don't believe in that, if you're right about something. So what happened is they want to settle. They want me to give a check like for $1 million or $2 million, which, by the way, will be a lot less than this ends up costing, but that's okay. And then he'd stand up, have a news conference. Oh, look what I got from Donald Trump. Huh? This guy's a real, I call him the lightweight attorney general. So today, maybe this is my good luck place, Buffalo. Maybe. Well, it's interesting. So today, as I'm getting on the plane, I get a call. Mr. Trump, you won most of your case. The judge came down with the decision just exactly like we said. The judge was really a professional, terrific judge that did the right thing. Now, they didn't want to sue me because they wanted me to settle. They figured I'd settle. I don't settle. You know, I'm not a settler. And that's why I don't get sued that much. Well, it's interesting. You know, all these guys that settle, they get sued all the time because they settle. You know, let's sue J.P. Morgan Chase. Give me a check for $1 billion. You know, I don't do that. And I'm a very honest person, and I also have high standards. So I just don't do it. So I just got a call that we beat. Now, think of it. 98%. Here's the key. You know, every case has a soundbite, some good, some bad. This one has one of the great soundbites of all time. The students that took the course signed a report card on the course. We call it the report card. And 98% of the students that took the course loved it, liked it, thought it was wonderful. They signed all of these beautiful things, and then they'd put paragraphs. So I have 98% approval. We showed this to him. And he sued me anyway because he wanted to get publicity off Trump's back. And we just won the biggest part of the case today. So I'm very happy. I'm thrilled. I love beating bad people. And he wished he never, believe me, and I've heard, he wished he never brought this case. Believe me, I love it. I love it. He's dealing with a different character, but I love it. So I said to Nick and some others that this is a race that can be won. Look at the crowd you have tonight. This is the all-time record by three times. I mean, it's a fantastic crowd and great people. But I said to Nick, and I said to so many others, by the way, Carl Palladino is such a good guy. He is, I call him the misunderstood man. He wants what's good for the state, I can tell you that. And David DiPietro is around here. He took more pictures with me. He was driving me crazy. His family, David's mother and his wife, it never stopped with the pictures. David, you drove me crazy back there. Your support isn't worth that much. I stood for 10 minutes. It kept being his mother comes up, his wife, his daughter, everybody. But he's still a great guy. And he actually said something, because they came down, Nick and David and a whole group of like 45, 50 people, leaders. And David said, and it was sort of interesting, I said, what do you think? They want me to run. He said, well, you have 100 people that can lose, but you would win easily. It's a big statement. So I don't know if he's saying that. I don't know if it's fact. It's certainly a hard race. But when you have all of the bad sound bites of taxes and crime and problems and all of the job problems that we have and all of the fact that our industry is being sucked out of New York and that our people are leaving and our children are leaving for other places and our grandchildren are leaving as soon as they turn 20 years old and 19 years old, they're gone. I just happen to think that, you know, this state can be turned around. I believe that if I ran and if I won, we would become one of the great energy capitals of this world. And quickly. Thank you. So easy. Such common sense. You know, it's interesting. I've received many environmental awards. I've done great golf courses and projects and all over. And I've received Audubon. I mean, so many awards. And it's hard to imagine. Here you have New York. It's sitting there. No jobs. It's dying. It's dying. And you have it just sitting there. And right next to it, you have a line. It's called Pennsylvania. And they got rigs all over the place. And they're saying, oh, it's environmentally not good to have a rig. Well, they have them right next door. And they're sucking the oil out of New York. And they're sucking the natural gas out as sure as you're sitting there. And you have so much. But eventually, you're not going to have. You know, when you have $385 billion in debt, you got a problem. What's going to pay off the debt? Energy is going to pay off. Energy is one of the great, great things. And now, Bobby Kennedy's got a hold on, you know, Bobby Kennedy, who's a guy I know very well. I know them all. I know everybody. I know Andrew very well. I know everybody. But I want to do the right thing. And probably with this speech tonight, Andrew will come out tomorrow. And two things. Number one, he'll get married because, you know, a lot of people don't like. So I hope his girlfriend sends me a thank you letter. And number two, he'll come out in favor of fracking and going down and let's get some oil and some money and jobs. So let's see. But what you need is you need leadership. You need unity. You need victory. You can win if you want to. It's not going to be easy. It's a state that's very, very hard. Presidential candidates, Republicans, don't even come and campaign here. But you can win because there are so many things that are being done so badly. So with that, I want to thank Darnell. I want to thank Nick. I want to thank everybody. This has really been an amazing evening and a great experience for me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Donald Trump!